Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Mr. Kerry McGonigal, member of the BJU Bible faculty. The title of his message is Peter's Problem with Peer Pressure. The text is from Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 14.
Turn in your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I'd like to begin by reading the first 10 verses and then taking verse 11 as our theme text for this morning. Paul writes, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." And then we come to verse 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." I don't know if you've ever read that passage and been amazed at this apostolic butting of heads, this apostolic confrontation between Peter and Paul. I still remember vividly the first time I read that, and I thought, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Here are Peter and Paul, and they're at odds with one another. And Paul says to Peter that he was to be blamed. He was to be condemned. And the question is, why was Peter to be blamed? What was Peter doing that caused Paul, a fellow apostle, to literally confront him face to face and say, "You're wrong"? Well, we'll see it in verses 12 through 14. Here's the explanation. Verse 12, "For before that certain came from James, Peter did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" What was Peter's problem? Well, Peter had a problem with peer pressure. He may not have used it in this text. That particular word is not found in the original language. But the idea is here that Peter gave into a fear of man, which could be translated peer pressure. Peter had a problem with this. And in verses 12, 13, and 14, we have three reasons why Peter gave into peer pressure. Three indications of Peter's problem. And I think by looking at this today, we will be able to analyze our own relationship with others and say, am I guilty? Am I to be blamed for giving into peer pressure? Of course, you know that peer pressure can be something that is positive. Somebody influences you or encourages you to do right. That's positive peer pressure. And peer pressure can be negative if someone is trying to get you to do something you know you shouldn't do. But in this case, this was a negative peer pressure. It says in verse 12 that before certain came from James, and this is referring to that group of Judaizers who said that in addition to salvation by faith alone, you needed to be circumcised. And before these Judaizers came, Peter was eating with the Gentiles. You know, he was fellowshipping with them, eating with them on a regular basis, having things in common with them, you know, playing basketball with the Gentiles, all of these things. But when the Judaizers came, it says, he withdrew and separated himself. Peter began to withdraw himself. Perhaps somebody asked, where's Peter today? Why isn't Peter at the meal? And then next week it was, Peter hasn't been here 2 days this week. And the following week, Peter wasn't there any of the days. He began gradually to withdraw himself from the Gentiles, separating himself. And this is why he stood condemned. And the reason he did this is given to us in the text, verse 12. Why did he separate himself from them? Because he feared them which were of the circumcision, the Judaizers. Peter had a problem with fear. And fear is one of the reasons we give in to negative peer pressure. What is fear? Well, I wanted to draw from Mr. Berg this morning, and so I'm going to give you his definition of fear. And I asked him before I came up here if this is accurate. So it is. Fear is the emotional response that you have to a situation that makes you vulnerable, that puts you in a position of vulnerability, that makes you liable to lose something that you consider important. For example, I love theme parks and rides, and I've done several internships throughout the summers, and of course, as part of those internships, I get to work with the youth group, and as part of working with the youth group, you get to go to the theme parks. So I've been to many theme parks and ridden all the rides, and I really do enjoy it. One time we went to Cedar Point in Ohio. Perhaps some of you have been there. And we went in there, and they have a ride that's called the Magnum. How many of you have been on the Magnum? Okay. So you can verify what I'm saying here. And I saw the Magnum, and it was a new ride at that point, so I wanted to get on that ride. And I got in there, and I was with my wife and some of the other kids from the youth group, and in fact, we were sitting with this girl that had never been on a ride in her life. And so we said, well, you know, why don't you just join us? You know, come with us. We'll make you feel secure and comfortable. And we started up that first hill, you know. And it never ended. And about halfway up there, as the park got lower and lower and lower, And I could see all the, you know, Great Lakes of Michigan. I could see, you know, five states that had joined Ohio. I thought, you know, I'm scared. But of course, I was with the youth group, and I'm, you know, the youth sponsor, so I'm like, hands up! And inside, I'm just, you know, dying, thinking, I'm going to die. At that point in my life, I was very much afraid. And why was I afraid? Because there was the potential that I might lose something very valuable to me. There was the potential I might lose other things too, but there was the potential that I might lose something very valuable to me, namely my life. And I hold my life very important and very dear to me. And so there was a sense of fear. I've been on musical groups, I've been in choirs, but I'm not inherently musical. I can sing, I can carry a tune, but I don't like to lead music. You can ask me to give an extemporaneous speech in front of 5,000 people, that'd be fine. But please don't ask me to direct music, even if it's just for my family. Because I've had some bad experiences with music, directing music. I worked at my church one summer and I taught Sunday school there. And our Sunday school started at about 9 o'clock, and so I was teaching a group of adults. And I thought, well, you know, everybody comes in Sunday mornings, and their eyes are all, you know, clouded, and, you know, they haven't had their coffee yet. And so I thought, well, let's just sing a song. Let's sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Everybody knows that one. And so I started into it, tried to direct with my hands. Well, the first problem was I started with the chorus. I started on the chorus instead of the first verse. So you know, great is thy faithfulness. And of course, if you're like me, your voice in the morning is not too flexible. There's not a whole lot of range there. And so I started a little bit high and I started on the chorus, which threw everybody off. And so by the time I get, you know, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning. I got to the point where my voice just cracked. And the lady in the front row just buckled over laughing. And I thought, you know, this is not fun. I'm losing something that's important to me, that, you know, my respect, losing face here. And so anytime I have to lead singing from now on, I mean, even if I know the song and everything, I'm very comfortable with it, I have this sense of fear that something like that's going to go wrong, because I'm fearing that I'm going to lose something that's very valuable to me. And I shouldn't be fearful. I do know how to dribble pass. I know enough about music to lead that way. Fear is that emotional response that we have to situations in life that make us vulnerable, that put us in a vulnerable position. I say all that to illustrate this point, that Peter was fearing them that were of the circumcision. Peter was fearing the Judaizers. There was something that Peter held valuable that he was afraid of losing. And so he gave in to peer pressure because he didn't want to lose what was valuable to him, whether it was his reputation as, you know, the leader of the Jews. I don't know what Peter was afraid of losing, but there was something important to him. And consequently, he was afraid of losing that. And so consequently, he gave in to the pressure. And many times we give in to pressure because we are fearing people. We fear what we might lose if we say no. You know, what is it for you? Are you afraid of losing a friendship? Because you're afraid of losing that friendship, you're not willing to say no. You're not willing to say, I won't do that. But no, the friendship is more important than truth and principle. Or is it your reputation? You know, you've got a certain reputation in the dorms, being a cool guy. Because of that, you're not willing to give that up. You don't want to be put in a position where you might lose that. Where if someone saw you praying or reading your Bible, you might lose your reputation. And so consequently, you give in to peer pressure. Or maybe money that motivates you. Or it may be popularity, prestige, or acceptance with people. Do you have the principle and the character to say no to your girlfriend or your boyfriend when you're in a situation where there could be physical involvement? Or are you afraid that the person wouldn't accept you anymore, that they wouldn't like you anymore, that they might dump you? And so because of that fear, you're going to give in instead of follow principle and conviction. Are you willing to give up your comfortability for the sake of truth and conviction? For whatever reason, Peter had a problem with fear, and he feared them which were of the circumcision. Verse 13 gives us the second reason that Peter struggled in this area. It says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The words here that we're looking at are dissembled and dissimulation. What do these words mean? Ronaldo, it's too familiar for us. It's not referring to, you know, buying something at Kmart and coming home and assembling it and then having to take it down and dissemble it. This is referring to the idea of hypocrisy. For Peter to dissemble was for Peter to act hypocritically. And the second reason, this fear that Peter was experiencing consequently led to hypocrisy, to hypocritical living. Because he was afraid to lose certain things that were important to him, he started acting hypocritically. And you know, most of you are aware of the fact that this word comes from and the idea of the Greek players who would wear certain masks to act out certain parts. And when they would act out a certain part over here, they would have a certain mask to represent that person. And then when they would act out this person over here, they'd have a different mask for that person. That's the idea of being a hypocrite, wearing different masks for different situations. And perhaps it was that Peter had his Judaistic, legalistic Old Testament mask that he would put on. And when the Judaizers, those that came from James, were around, Peter had his mask on. And then when he was with Paul and the Gentiles, he had his Gentile mask on. And so Peter was going back and forth, wearing different masks, acting and playing the part of the hypocrite. Sometimes we give in to peer pressure, or as a result of giving in to fear of losing something very important to us, we act the hypocrite. We start wearing different masks for different situations. And I wonder how many masks you have in your little, toolkit. You know, you have your mask for your parents that you wear when you're around them. And then you've got your Christian school, your Bob Jones University mask that you wear. And you've got the fundamentalist mask, and you've got the mask that you wear around your roommates, and then the mask that you wear around your friends, your really close associates, and you've got masks that you wear for your hall leader when he comes to check your room, and you've got masks for the dorm supervisor and the dorm counselor, and you're just constantly putting on different masks for different people because you don't want to lose your acceptance with all of these people. Trying to please people instead of pleasing God. So consequently, you're always running around changing your masks. And every once in a while, somebody's going to find you in the midst of transition. Somebody's going to walk in the room and you're not going to have the right mask on. And oops. They saw you for who you really are. And Peter was playing the part of a hypocrite because of his fear of man. And then verse 14 says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all," and he goes on to explain. The third problem here is located in verse 14. Peter was not walking uprightly. The idea here is he was not walking with straight feet. He was not footing it straight, literally, is the idea. He was walking crooked because he was fearing man and walking hypocritically. He was not walking a straight path in reference to the gospel. I mean, Peter knew what the gospel taught. Peter knew that the gospel was by grace through faith alone. Peter knew that the Gentiles didn't have to adopt circumcision in order to be saved. But Peter was not walking a straight course. Seems to be a lack of conviction here. You know, when people get pulled over for driving under the influence, the officer will make them get out and they'll walk a straight line. And they can see if they're intoxicated or how intoxicated they are by how straight they can walk. And some of these people are all over the line. And the same thing here. Peter was not walking a straight course with reference to what he knew about the truth of the gospel. It seems as if Peter's convictions begin to waver a little bit. Peter knew what was right. He had heard it. He had proclaimed it. He had asserted it before. But now he was a little bit shaken because of his fear and hypocritical lifestyle. Now he was off balance a little bit. When you play football in high school and say you're an offensive lineman, they never teach you to get down like this, and then I say, okay, here's the trick. I mean, you want to plow a guy over? Okay, just go like this. Okay, and then put your hand down. It'll work every time. You just plow right over. No, that doesn't happen. When you play football, when you're an offensive lineman, you want stability. You want the right grounding. You want to be balanced and secure, so that nothing can push you over, so that you push other people over. And here's the idea that Peter, because of his fear, because of his hypocritical lifestyle, was limping. He wasn't walking straight. He was walking crooked. And it was as if he was limping. It was as if he had one foot up like this. And anybody that came by could push him over very easily. And sometimes the reason we give in to peer pressure is because we've been living this hypocritical lifestyle. And because of that, we have lost a sense of conviction. We've lost the sense of what really is right. I mean, a conviction is something that you would die for. It's not just something that you believe. And Peter had lost this sense of conviction. You need to establish in your life certain
uncompromisable convictions, certain non-negotiables, things that you won't compromise about that. And if you're like that, you're like the man that is securely planted with both feet set, ready to take anything on. And somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, let's go here." You say, "No." "Hey, let's listen to this." You say, "No, I'm securely planted. I know what I believe. I'm going to stand my ground."
But sometimes we don't know what we believe. And because we don't know what we believe, we're easily pushed over. Or it's not just that we don't know what we believe, it's that we're not convinced about it. You know, you need to establish even now your dating philosophy. What is your philosophy of relationship? What are you going to do and what are you not going to do based on the Scriptures? You know, when you have her over and you're all alone and there's no one else in the house, that's not a good time to make your convictions. Okay, you need to settle your convictions beforehand so that you are firmly planted. So that when he says, "Well, you know, if you love me," you can say, "Oh no, Buster. I am securely planted. I have convictions about this. I will not move. I'm not going to play the hypocrite. I know what is truth. I'm going to walk a straight course according to the truth. I am firmly planted on this." You've got to settle your convictions now, or else you'll spend the entirety of your life being pushed by people, being moved wherever they want you to go, to do whatever they want you to do, to listen to whatever they want you to listen to. And your life will be shaped by people and will be meaningless to God. So the answer, the remedy to all of these things is to fear God. To be like Joseph, who in the midst of a situation similar to that, said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I mean, God was his primary motivation. Not what Potiphar would think or not what Potiphar's wife would think. He had established his conviction. He knew what was right and he was standing upon principle. And to live a sincere life, be transparent. Put your masks away. Stop playing the hypocrite. Stop being different around all of these different groups of people. Be sincere. Be transparent. And walk a straight course. Be firmly planted on what you believe and be willing to die for it so that you're not moved away as Peter was moved away from the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this passage, for including it in the record of your revelation. Thank you that we can learn lessons from Peter's life. We know that he was not perfect. We thank you for what he did do. We thank you, however, that we can identify with his relationships and his attitudes at times, and we can learn from them. We realize this is something significant because giving into the fear of man doesn't just affect us, just as it didn't affect Peter alone, because it also affected Barnabas, who was carried away with Peter's dissimulation. Help us to realize that our lives are not lived in a vacuum, but we have effect on other people. Help us not to be people that would lead others astray, and help us not to be led astray, but to live in the fear of your name and in the fear of your word, to have principles that settle us, that ground us, that root us in the truth, that keep us from being pushed aside. Help us, Lord, to walk straight course according to the truth that you have revealed to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Kerry McGonigal of the University Bible Faculty. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.